Hi, this is Lauren from Discovery Church. Thanks for taking time to listen to this week's podcast. We hope that you find value and that is very impactful to your life today. Have a great one.
Well, we have a special guest today, and I've shared this story with Discovery Church before, but I want to share it again. Pastor Brent is here all the way from BC. He flew in yesterday. He's gracing us with his talent, his giftings of speaking, but his heart goes way beyond just a platform, way beyond just a Sunday. Pastor Brent has actually sat on our pastoral council, our overseers of our church since day one. And he's actually the president of ARC Canada. ARC is an association that we're connected with that helped plant Discovery Church across. It's an organization that spreads right across our world, but there's an ARC Canada sector. And Pastor Brent's the president of ARC Canada. But this is what really speaks highly, hopefully, to him, to you guys. It was about 2.5 years ago, I experienced my very first panic attack. Didn't know what it was. Didn't understand it. I was gripped in the fetal position in a hotel room in BC, actually at a conference, at an ARC conference. You know, we're at a spiritual high. We're supposed to be going for it. Everything is supposed to be amazing. And I remember waking up on the Wednesday morning and gripped in the fetal position for 45 minutes. I could not move. And long story short, I was able to through Sean Lee's help, talk through it, breathe through it, get up, go to the conference, sit in the back corner, got on a plane that evening, came back home. Pastor Brent found out that I had a panic attack that morning. The next day, he was on a flight from BC knocking on the front door of our house to make sure we were okay. And as church leaders, for way too long, we've been doing ministry alone. And having somebody like Pastor Brent in our corner who not just will come and speak and close out 21 days of prayer, but somebody that actually cares for us, calls up and says, how are you doing? I don't care about how finances are right now. I don't care about how many people are showing up through the doors. How are you and Shauna Lee? How are your kids? And I've never experienced somebody getting on a plane before to out of their own money, out of their own time, and come and knock on the door. So that's the type of heart that you get to hear from today, from a father's heart. He's pastored one of the biggest churches in our nation at one time. I've seen a revival hit his church, and we're just so excited. So why don't you stand up, put your hands together, and welcome Pastor Brent today.
I've spoken in a lot of places over the years of ministry. I have some good friends here, Pastor Hilsden and his wife, and we've been in ministry a long, long time. I just finished my 41st year as a pastor and evangelist and missionary. It's a long time. You speak in a lot of places. I think in the last 8 years, I've spoken in 80 different Canadian churches from coast to coast. So you go places and you meet people. So this thing started happening to me. The first time it happened, I was going to speak in Sherbrooke, Quebec. And this guy picked me up at the airport. Sherbrooke's a very French-speaking part of Quebec. And this guy just started talking to me as we're driving. I don't know what his name was now. I can't remember. It's probably, you know, Jean-Luc, Pierre, Francois, something like that. And he started talking to me, telling me what an awful meeting we were going to have as we're driving from the airport to the meeting. He's saying, you know, the people are fighting, and he's going on, and the pastors don't like each other. We have problems with the Catholics, and he's going on with all these things. And not many people coming, pastors canceling. This is a hard place. That's what he said. This is a hard place. Don't expect much. Not going to be a good meeting. You know, we didn't have time to promote, and just on and on and on. So we got to the meeting, and amazingly enough, he was a prophet. It was a bad meeting. This is a hard place. The next time it happened was in Russia. I'm not exaggerating, folks. And I got picked up from the airport again. I don't do this anymore. I never go from the airport to a meeting because it's just bad. It just doesn't work out. And this time, the guy's driving. This was quite a while ago. We're in a Lada. It's like 30 below outside, it's sweaty inside the car, and Igor, Sergey, Alexander is talking to me about what a bad meeting it's going to be. And he's going on, he's saying, "Duh, it's very bad meeting, you know,
people not coming, KGB, you know, mafia, we've got that Orthodox, they're not coming, people fighting, difficult, very difficult. He's going on and on as we're driving. I'm jet lagged, I'm falling asleep. And then he says, as we pull up, this is a hard place. Same thing. I thought, wow, I've heard that before. This is a hard place. The next time it happened was in Africa, in Zambia. A place called Kapeshi. Kapeshi is a little village, and the grass is about 10 feet high all around this village. We had a guy in our church, and his name was John Wind, beautiful brother, heart for missions, passed away, left some money, and his family said, do something with the money in Africa. So I thought, okay. So we helped to build a school in Kapeshi, Zambia. So John Wind had gone to heaven, and I was supposed to go and dedicate the school, the John Wind School in Kapeshi. And so we're driving up, and people are coming out of the bush, and they're doing that, you know, John Wind is here, John Wind is here. And so I'm thinking, oh, great. So we get there, and I get out of the car, and they're going, John Wind, thank you for coming, John Wind. I said, no, I'm not John Wind, I'm Brent, I'm here on John Wind's behalf. John Wind, everyone, let's welcome John Wind. And finally, I just started saying, so nice to be here. I said, here to dedicate my school, the John Wind School. And so we dedicated the school, and then they had ceremonies. They sat me on a chair covered in animal skins. They presented me with the beautiful gift of two live chickens, which I was to sit and hold while the villagers danced and sang and did all kinds of things. And you just roll with it in a missions environment. And then the village elders took me aside after the meeting and said, the people here have no education. We have no money. In the spring, when the creek overruns its banks, we're stranded for 6 weeks. We need this. We need that. We cannot build the church of God. This is a hard place, Pastor. So that's now the third time. The fourth time was in Vancouver. I was at a pastor's meeting. And here's how it went. Oh, Vancouver's a hard place to build the church. You know, the people here have so much education. They have so much money. They have so many opportunities. You can ski in the morning and go sailing in the afternoon. You know, it's a hard place for the church. So I was in Kapeshi, and they said, we don't have anything, and that's why it's so hard. And then I'm in Vancouver, and they say, we have everything, and that's why it's so hard. So I started thinking, it seems to me like every place is a hard place. And every place has excuses, and every place has reasons, and every family has troubles, and every circumstance is difficult. So I'm thinking, is every place a hard place? Has it always been a hard place? Like, surely it wasn't a hard place for Jesus to do the work, the Son of God. Like, you can walk on water and multiply the loaves and fishes. But if you've read what happened to Jesus, it says in one place that he sort of said some nasty things about some cities. It says in Matthew 11, he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. And he says, woe to you, in one city's Chorazin, the other's Bethsaida. He says, if the mighty works done in you had been done in these other cities, they would have repented long ago. So the Son of God did most of his mighty miracles in these two cities, and they didn't repent. The Son of God experienced a hard place. What about the disciples? Surely if you and I had the experience that the disciples had to walk with Jesus for 3 years and, you know, do everything and see everything, surely they would have been filled with faith and power, and it wouldn't have been tough for them. Really? After the resurrection of Christ, we find the disciples cloistered in a room with the doors locked for fear of their lives. You follow through, and after the persecutions began, they had to scatter from Jerusalem. What about the Apostle Paul? Surely ministry was easy, and surely the breakthrough and building churches was easy for the Apostle Paul. After Paul's first sermon, once he came to Jesus, you know, the result was so bad. Not because he preached bad, but spiritual opposition, that his friends had to let him down through the wall of a city in a basket, and he had to run for his life. Well, what about in places that we talk about where the power of the Holy Spirit fell down? What about Ephesus, Acts chapter 19? Well, there were 12 believers there. Maybe you've thought it was a big gathering. It was 12. Now, the amazing thing is that they all got filled with the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't matter whether it's by many or few, God is able to move. But it was just 12. And then the work went pretty good for a while. This is the place where they prayed for handkerchiefs, and they'd take the handkerchief and lay it on the sick person, and they would recover. Amazing. Then after 2 years, these opposers rose up and gathered a crowd against the Christians. And this is the scene where the entire city gathered in the theater and shouted for 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," and the believers were dispersed. Friends, the New Testament contains story after story after story of the challenges of the gospel going forward, but the gospel always goes forward. One of my favorite references, it's a sort of a not a very significant one, is to a guy named Epaphroditus. You might not know him, but he's pretty famous because in Romans 16, the writer says, "Greet the church that is in the house of Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Asia to Christ." The Bible actually names the first Asian who received Jesus. Like, Asia's a big place, and they had outreaches, and one guy came to Jesus. One guy. And the Bible writers felt that it was significant enough that one came to Jesus. They put his name in the scripture. One. And now you think of the millions of people who are followers of Christ in all of Asia and Southeast Asia. And unbelievable what God is doing. But it started with one. His name was Epaphroditus. So are there hard places? Yeah, there are hard places. In fact, every place is a hard place because the enemy is not about to see Discovery Church rock up to this lovely facility and just go, "Whoa, Discovery Church in Sherwood Park now, I'm out. You can have it." The enemy's always going to say, "No, this is going to be a fight. I'm going to take you on. I'm not going to just let you come in here and proclaim the name of Jesus. I'm going to oppose you. I'm going to try and discourage you. I'm going to do my best to slow you down. I'm going to do anything I can." Maybe you think that this is going to be an easy journey, but friends, it's not. It never has been, but the gospel has always gone forward in Jesus' name. There's always a hungry person nearby who needs God's love in their heart. There's a hurting person. There's somebody that's seeking. Somebody last night laid in their head on their pillow and thought, "What is this all about? Why am I here? What's going on?" There were people suffering with mental troubles, thinking they should end their lives this week, who need what you have here in Discovery Church. The work of God has never been without opposition, but it's always, always gone forward. There are people in your family that seem to be hard places. There are things in your finances that might seem like hard places. But there are always people at the same time that we have no idea. Didn't we just sing, "Even when I don't see it, you're working"? You never stop. You never stop working. We don't always see it. And today there are people in this room and God is working in your heart. He's drawing you to himself to be closer. Maybe you've gotten discouraged. Maybe you've said about Edmonton, "Man, I wish we could live in Calgary. You know, that's an easy place, Calgary." Isn't the other place always seems easier, you know? Edmonton, oh, that's a hard place. That's a hard place. That's burned over. So many churches, so many people. I don't think we need another church in Edmonton. Really? Are there any lost people left in Edmonton? Maybe a few. Any hurting people left in this city? Maybe a few. Anybody need a message of freedom and deliverance in this city? Yeah, I think a few. Maybe you've said about your own spiritual life, "Oh, it's a hard place. I'll never get any further, or God can't use me." Maybe you've gotten discouraged because of past experiences and you've just decided that you're going to leave it be a hard place. Maybe you've been persuaded by the Canadian culture that your faith should just be a very personal, very private thing that has nothing to do with anything but you. And so you make the world a hard place that's not open to the gospel of Christ, and you've been muzzled by the culture. When Jesus said, "Tell everyone you know, spread the good news,
invite who you can. There's good soil, there's bad soil, there's rocky soil, there's thorny soil, but the good soil always produces a harvest. So open your mouth. But maybe you've thought, no, Canada's a hard place. Maybe you even felt a little bit canceled. I don't know how you feel, but whoever you are, whatever the area of your life, I'm certain that just about everybody has said about something, well, that's a hard place. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your career. It's a hard place. So today I want to give you a couple of steps. The first one is, instead of speaking the negative, instead of speaking the doubt, instead of speaking the fear, I want to urge you to begin to speak and to act in faith. I want to give you a little sentence that I hope you will take out of this room, and as you drive, as you go for lunch, whatever you do today, that you will say this all this week as long as you can remember. And the phrase is this: this is a blessed place. Not this is a hard place. This is a blessed place. This is a place that God loves. This is a place that has the favor of God through it. Instead of speaking of the work of the enemy, begin to see Edmonton through the eyes that God sees it. See your family through the eyes that God sees them. See the people around you and the places you go as God sees them. Your finance, the purpose for your life, your church, your future. This is a blessed place. This is a place where God longs to pour out his spirit, where God longs to open up the generosity of his great heart and expand us in Jesus' name. It's a blessed place. The people here are not harder to reach than other places. The Holy Spirit has not become weak in this city versus other cities. The Holy Spirit hasn't left your neighborhood, hasn't left your business, hasn't left your family. The gospel changes people, whether they're in Kipeshi, Zambia, or Moscow, Russia, or Vancouver, or Edmonton, no matter what, the gospel changes people, and it's always the same. So this is a blessed place. This is a place that God is loving. Let me read you from the Bible one of the great passages about this being a blessed place. In Deuteronomy, it says this: you will experience all of these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your businesses will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and your bread boards will be blessed. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you will be blessed. This is a blessed place. So on the count of three, I want you to say it with me. By faith, no matter what you're going through, as a step of faith, would you say with me, this is a blessed place? Ready? One, two, three. This is a blessed place. As you drive, as you go to work tomorrow, as you pull into your neighborhood, instead of griping and complaining and moaning, I want you to speak by faith over this city. This city is a blessed place in Jesus' name. And you're going to find that your attitude, your expectancy of faith is going to change because you've taken your eyes off of this and put them on the Lord our God, who is big enough and strong enough to bless you and bless this place. Amen. This is a blessed place. The second thing, when it's hard, the Lord is going to go through it with you. You're not alone. When it's hard, he's going to go through it with you. I want to read to you from Isaiah chapter 43. And this passage, I've loved this passage for a long, long time. But I want you to help me that every time you see the word through, that you say it with me, okay? I'll read it, but when we get to through, I want you to speak that out. I want you to notice that this is not saying you won't have troubles, it won't be difficult, you won't face challenges. But it just keeps saying, but you will go through it. There is an other side. Are you ready? Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. You ready? When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. I want to say to somebody here today who's having a hard places time in your life, if you will walk with the Lord, my friend, my brother, my sister, you will go through it. in Jesus' name, you will go through it. The final thing is if you have a hardened heart, sometimes our hearts become hard. They become hard through bad experiences. Maybe you feel like God hasn't been faithful to you. Maybe you have a struggle with leaders. Maybe you got hurt as a child or whatever goes on. Maybe you've been through a divorce or you've had financial disappointments. Or you look on your life and you say, hey, honestly, that was a fail. And your hearts become hard. You're afraid to risk. The symptoms of a hard heart is we become stubborn. We're not teachable. We become rebellious and sinful. We become negative. And if you have a hard heart, maybe your heart has been hardened by sinful behavior and you've just lost the ability to believe. This is what Ezekiel says can happen to you. 36:26, God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways. Discovery Church, we need to be people who have soft hearts, not hard hearts, not cynical hearts, not hearts that have been burned over and worn out by religion and all kinds of things. We need to have hearts like a child, hearts that believe. I've got a ton of grandchildren. I think it's 13. I'm not sure. Yes, it's 13. I know their names most days. Or if I don't, I just say, hey, put that down, you know, and they respond pretty good. I got to go skiing with my little six-year-old named Mary. She's just a little tiny thing. It was her first day. It was my job to teach her. You know, it was the most beautiful thing because I'd say, okay, Mary, you know, make your pizza, like the piece of pizza, you know, your snowplow. I'd say, make your pizza. She'd do it. I'd say, okay, now make some French fries. And she'd put her feet together and she'd do it. I'd say, okay, slow down a little bit, Mary. She'd slow down. I say, you're going too fast, baby. Just sit down, sit down. She'd just sit down. Like, she just trusted me. It was beautiful. By the end of the day, she could go top to bottom by herself. Some of you need to come back to that childlike faith in God, where when God says, walk this way, you say, okay, you go there. When he says, here's the thing that's going to bless your life, you go there, you do it. It gives you an opportunity to go through freedom and find things that you never knew were under the surface, causing actions and behavior. Then you say, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to lean in. I'm not going to sit back. Can I just tell you, Discovery Church, if we're going to fill up this room 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times on a Sunday and reach out to people and grow small groups and grow the team and do all we need to do, everybody here today has got to lean in. We can't sit back and watch and say, well, somebody else's turn is now. No, it's our turn now, because this takes everybody in agreement. So if you've got a hard heart today, if you've got a heart that's been kind of burned over by a lot of years of religion, then this morning I want to ask God to give you a soft heart, a new heart. Tonight in the service, we're going to pray for people. We're going to pray for a fresh fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be weird or scary. Maybe you hear people talk about the fullness of the Holy Spirit or being Spirit-filled, or what does that mean? We'll talk about that tonight. We'll pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon us, that we would have the power of God to do the things we can't do in our own strength. That's really what it's all about. So would you bow your heads, close your eyes, please. God, I just thank you today for your presence. I thank you for your power. I thank you that you are not intimidated by the label of the hard places. And so today we say this is a blessed place. We believe in our hearts your desire is to bless and prosper Discovery Church, that many would come to faith. Lord, we decide, we take heart, that if we're in a hard place, you're going to go through it with us. We're not alone. Let me just pause and say, if you're in that place, or if you're honestly saying, Pastor, I feel like I'm in a hard place. I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, right now, remind my brother, remind my sister that you're going to go through it with them in Jesus' name. That there will be another side in Jesus' name. And then with heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask, is there someone here today and you'd say, honestly, Pastor, I can see that there are places in my heart that are hard from hurts, from wounds, from disappointments. And I don't want to have a hard heart. I want to have a soft heart for God. If you have to say honestly, there are some hard places and I want a soft heart for God today. If that's you, would you just hold up your hand? Say, yeah, I want to have a soft heart for God. I want to be free of those hard places. Yeah, bless you. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Father, right now I pray for the people in this room who are saying, soften my heart. Heal my heart in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray, and touch every heart, every life, every person in this room. And we will go from this place saying, this is a blessed place in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What's the sentence that we learned today together? Could we say it one more time, everybody? This is a blessed place. God bless you so much, Pastor. Thank you.